This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, lineupmedia.fm production, and we are back this week with Everett and myself, as always, and we have a guest with us. Our guest is?
Our guest is Tony Hubert. He's another guy that works on the network with us on lineupmedia.fm. He's a host on the show. He's been on all kinds of our shows, but you got a main show you're doing now. What show is that, Tony?
This Day in History.
This day, what do you guys talk about on this day in history?
Yeah, you do that with Armand, which we all know. Armand's been a guest on the show at least three or four times, right?
Yeah.
He's kind of a fan favorite and a fan least favorite, so to speak.
That would seem to be about right.
He has his days. Sometimes he gets on here and he seems like a sex-crazed maniac like Pepe.
He is.
And other days,
and some
he
days
drops knowledge
he's like professor, you know.
And he is.
Yep.
I've told him that he should do his own podcast called This Day in the History of Sex.
Yeah.
Boy, that and he sticky show.
And he laughs, but I'm like, no, most world events are, you know. So that's what we do, Eric. We, all the events from a certain date.
Whatever this day is.
Whatever the date is.
Nice, that's
the
cool
events that we like, how it affects the world you live in today, who was born, who died.
Have a nice little conversation about
and,
the events on
oh,
that
it's
day.
Not a stodgy, dry show, let me tell you that.
I've been on the show. They'll go through about 50, 60 events of what happened on that day. Anything
oh,
worth
no
talking
shit,
about,
huh?
We stop on.
Right on.
I was supposed to do the show yesterday, but I big time.
Flaked out, huh? Yeah.
Oh, he had meetings. He had corporate meetings and such.
I'm a piece
big,
of shit.
Big time, huh?
Yeah.
Right on. Well, what are we talking about this week?
Today is what we're calling the Super Sasquatch Show, or the Super Sasquatch Super Show. We never really settled on it.
Sasquatch Super Show.
Okay, I guess that's it. The Sasquatch Super Show. We're going to be talking about...
I liked Sasquatch Stravaganza, but he didn't know how to spell that.
Now, we're going
to
talk about old Sas, the any type of Bigfoot, from the Yeti, the Abominable Snowman, the European Wildman. We're going to get to all kinds of that stuff and have all kinds of discussion about everything around Bigfoot.
If you're big and you got feet,
we're finally going to...
No, that's not accurate.
That's not accurate at all. We're finally going to have another pop culture segment. It's been a while since we did pop culture on
the topic. Yes, it has.
Not really worthy topics for pop culture recently, but...
That's all right.
So let's hop into it. Bigfoot. Is Bigfoot a pre-sapient ancestor?
Well, hang on. Before we start out,
I'm jumping.
You're right. Yeah, I say.
Hang on, though. Let's get everyone's general preconceptions about Bigfoot. What would we consider Bigfoot to be? You know, generally.
You want to jump right into it. Tony's got the most interesting belief system on the Bigfoot thing that anybody has.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
So I was talking to Tony through the week about this, and I asked him if he wanted to be on the show because I've heard him talk about Bigfoot before. He doesn't believe in Bigfoot.
Nope.
Which isn't hard to believe.
I don't. I wish it was true. I wish it was real. I want it to be real.
Oh, it's cool.
But the strange thing is, the Abominable Snowman, the Yeti.
Yeah, that's real.
He believes in that.
Okay, so, wait, hang on. So let me stop you there. So how?
It's not like love and marriage. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah, they're not mutually exclusive here. You know, come on.
I mean, this is true. So do you think it's like there's a better survival rate for like a bipedal hominid or bipedal ape?
We haven't even established that the Yeti is bipedal. You've seen tracks in the Himalayas and things like that. Bears can walk on 2 feet. That doesn't mean
they're bipedal.
Here's what I think the Yeti is.
Okay.
It's simply a mountain gorilla that at some point
that's fucking
in the history of time. You know, was able to survive in the Himalayas, just like the mountain gorillas in Africa, which, by the way, 120 years ago,
nobody believed
were real.
That's true. Nobody believed the giant gorillas were real.
Yeah, the silverbacks?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
A book in 1850 would not have no record of a gorilla in it. A book in 1910 would.
No shit. I did not know that they were that.
I think
a Yeti
is simply a mountain gorilla for the Himalayas that may or may not still be around. Maybe they caught it at the tail end.
Now, do you think that the Yeti... could possibly be in other cold mountain regions, or was it just be strictly the Himalayas?
It's the only place we've heard.
Well, it's the only place you have testimony that sort of goes along with that of a gorilla. I mean, the one, even the artifact they have of it looks like the top of the head of a silverback gorilla.
No shit. So you think that the Yeti could just possibly be just a fucking gorilla who wandered up there and they evolved to get their white hair, you know, much like a polar bear would have done.
Two things would have had to happen, I think, in evolution. One, maybe, yes, the it turned, you know, naturally. It was,
necessity is the mother of evolution.
Yeah, the necessity for the pigmentation of the hair to change to white. Also, I think the necessity maybe to be a little bigger because it's at a higher altitude than the African gorillas,
right,
would necessitate bigger lung capacity. So those,
isn't it harder to breathe up there,
yes,
though, even at high altitudes,
right,
though?
So those animals with a larger lung capacity would be able to survive and thus breed and thus increase subsequent generational lung capacities till you get a bigger creature.
Right, okay. I can
now
follow that.
In the United States and in North America, the eyewitness testimony about Bigfoot is not that of an ape. It's that of a bipedal, sort of wild man, hairy man, half ape, half man,
yeah,
all sorts of things that Everett will get into. No one is saying we have a mountain gorilla on the loose in North America.
You're just saying that the Yeti is about 10 times more plausible than the Bigfoot.
I don't know if it's 10 times more plausible.
It's a flat Earth, hollow Earth comparison.
If you said, I think Bigfoot is absolutely not real, even though I want it to be real. I'd love it if they found one, captured one, anything.
Right.
I give Yeti a 50% better chance.
50% better
chance?
Let's think about it like this, about the how quickly an ape could have changed and evolved over there. All dogs that live today,
all dogs go to heaven,
evolved in the last 30,000 years from a single ancestor, the gray wolf.
Yeah. That's right.
In 30,000 years, we've produced hundreds of dog breeds.
Humans guided
the
dogs.
Fair enough.
Yes.
But it happened in 30,000 years, whether or not it was humans doing it or nature.
You can have
marked change in a small amount of time if the necessity is there.
If it is there, yeah, it totally
could. And the right animal survives and passes on its genes.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
And escapes. You know, there's natural selection and random selection. The problem you have when you're living in a mountain is random selection can hit you.
Right.
And random selection is, the group of good animals, whether it's a Yeti or a mountain goat or walking along a trail, and here comes an avalanche.
Right.
And now they're gone.
And I can ruin the whole species for you.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, that's the same thing with Bigfoot in North America, or anywhere really. Do you have a population large enough to breed?
Well, here, hang on. So let's not get it twisted too far ahead.
Oh, I keep going too far ahead, I guess.
No, huh? I'm not saying too far ahead. I mean, we all believe in the possibility here of a Bigfoot, right? Not that it is, we're saying, hey, there's definitely Bigfoot, but it's possible. That could have happened. Evolution could have stayed hidden. This is a possible thing before we get into this conversation.
The percentage is such a small percentage,
you know.
But it's like Lloyd Christmas in Dumb and Dumber.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Eric.
It's possible,
it's not that I deny its existence ever.
Right.
I just deny its existence in North America now.
Oh, okay. So the
fact that there was some pre-sapien hominid missing link somewhere on the Cro-Magnon Neanderthal spectrum that was bigger, you know, absolutely possible.
Let me ask you this now, because you're not...
Gigantopithecus is part of the fossil record, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Right.
A lot of people think that's what it is. It's just a Gigantopithecus. Logical evolution from that, basically, over the last so many thousands or hundreds
of years.
So
you're not a huge conspiracy guy, like, me and someone.
Not
him.
So much me.
But I enjoy a good conspiracy. That's why I'm a fan of this show.
You know how often we have the 9/11 discussion in this office, by the way? It's like 3 out of 5 days of the week, it seems like that breaks
off
in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I have to walk through there at this point and just roll my eyes because it's like, good Lord, people.
Oh, I would love that discussion. That's my favorite conspiracy. Anyway, so do you believe in the possibility of a cover-up to cover up? I don't know why or what the endgame would be, but do you believe in the possibility of a cover-up for
this? No, I don't. Okay. I do love the conspiracy theory, though. I enjoy a good conspiracy theory that the government knows that Sasquatches exist and somehow protect them.
Right.
That I find fascinating levels.
There are laws on the books. I believe Canada
has a Bigfoot protection law.
And I think
law.
Maybe even North Dakota has a law.
I don't know about North
Dakota.
Well, you
should, and here's why.
Well,
you should.
Ultra endangered.
No, even if they don't exist, here's why. you're going to protect someone from getting shot.
Good point.
Because at some point, some guy in a suit is going to get shot.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many hoaxers.
Yeah.
And they're going to come across the wrong
Bigfoot
guy.
Bigfoot raped my grandma. You're going to die.
Yeah. Somebody's gonna take a bullet unnecessarily.
Oh man!
For the fact that they were out in the woods jacking off in either a Bigfoot suit or a ghillie suit, which you can go to probably Cabela's and buy.
Right. And there's so many weird people these days. I'm not gonna say weird.
We all know how it ended up with the clown suits. It took a couple of them guys getting shot and one of them getting their arm hacked with a hatchet from a homeowner.
Really? You're nothing about that.
Yeah, you don't see about the crazy clowns fucking.
No, that's why the epidemic will go away for 20 years.
Yeah, because a couple of them got shot, one guy got his arm hacked off by a homeowner.
Stephen King was clued into this about 30 years before us, and that's what he wrote it on. It's cyclical, people. Every 30 years, the clown comes back. That's pretty much how that happened.
Well, and Bigfoot has proven to be somewhat cyclical, too.
Fair enough.
Forgive me. What's that mean? Cyclical.
You know, it happens every so often. It comes back.
Okay, so like Eric,
an American Bigfoot comes onto the scene in America in 1958.
Right. Okay.
Through a newspaper article.
Now I got a huge resurgence in like early 80s, late 70s.
Mid 70s. It explodes. It explodes, and we got pop culture to talk. It explodes so big that it influences pop culture to this day.
Yeah, still to this day. Yeah. Everybody, what about the monster truck for people that are listening to other countries that don't know what a monster
Bigfoot truck
is? We here in America have a crude sporting event, I guess you could say, that we like to watch, and it's just a bunch of trucks jacked up on like fucking
eight foot tires,
and they run cars over and shit. But we actually have a monster truck called Bigfoot.
It was the original monster truck. It was built originally in St. Louis Bob Kramer.
Up in Hazelwood.
As a way, you know, to show off what his shop can do for 4x4s. And they started doing demos of what this giant truck he built can do. Then the shows evolved. Other people started doing it. They turned it into an actual competition.
Yeah.
I can't tell if it's a lot like wrestling, because I think it kind of is. Who's going to win at the end of the night?
Yeah,
probably.
It's probably.
And they get into fights. Oh, you fucking popped my tire. I'm going to run in front of your car.
It's a show.
But any which way, we're not talking about monster trucks. But yeah, Bigfoot is so deep in our culture through movies, TV shows, and
Bigfoot's ingrained in my DNA.
Even commercials,
because you want to believe. And it really, Bigfoot captures your imagination.
Oh, of course.
That's why we're sitting here talking.
That's how the song goes.
Eric, as a kid, I would have dreams about Bigfoot because I was entranced.
I still have dreams about Bigfoot.
If I heard Bigfoot coming up on the news, I was staying up to watch the news. Here's the problem. News outlets quickly realized, oh, Bigfoot equals ratings. So
yeah,
let's go produce. And so did UFOs, by the way.
Oh yeah,
equaled ratings.
I'm a big, huge
controversy equals ratings.
So. Yeah, I'd stay up, watch it, and then I'd have a dream of Bigfoot, you know, destroying my neighbor's house, and it was great.
That's awesome. Those types of dreams where you have those are fucking good. I woke up. Oh man, that was.
But
a cool dream.
No, I at some point. A creature looking like what eyewitnesses are testifying to seeing. Evolutionary speaking, of course it's possible.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah. I can't deny that.
Well, let's talk about all the sightings they've had throughout history that are reported. What's interesting is they all have some very common characteristics. So they're always bipedal. We talked about that before. Generally always hairy, though the hair can change from being completely hairy like Chewbacca to patchy just on the arms with a bare chest like a gorilla.
I've seen it like sheep-like even, like a wool even.
Like
I've
a curly hair type?
I've seen all kinds of different Sasquatch. But no, but I've seen like illustrations are then portrayed as being like, you know, like thick, like wool, like from a sheep.
Almost matted?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, actually.
Another common thing is the smell. So there's the skunk ape in Florida. I don't know if a lot of people have heard of the skunk ape. It's just another version of, you know, the Bigfoot in the forest. Down there they have the swamp, so it traipses around in the swamps and the Everglades and all that. And they all have a musky type of smell, they say. Not all of them, but it's very common to have a really bad smell.
Yeah, you would too if you'd been out in nature for...
Yeah, think about it. I have a little bit of hair.
They don't shower.
I smell bad after an hour or two outside.
Right.
So imagine living out there.
Do you think Bigfoot wipes?
Oh, no, yeah, no. There's no ass wiping going on for Bigfoot.
Well, that depends. There's no hygiene. The amount of evasion Bigfoot does, and my wife and I were talking about this earlier.
He's been
gotta have a little bit of intelligence. So if I had intelligence, I'd wipe my ass. I think that's one of the first things you figure out you got to do when you become smart. Hey, I got a problem. I got to take care of this.
Yeah, well, you'll realize every time after you take a shit, you know, you got a rash down there for a day or two. So.
Right, and with all that hair, you're going to want to figure something out.
Ah, dingleberry. You probably don't get a rash. Probably get matted up ass hair.
Just think about that.
Ugh, that's rough.
Then think about the natural body odor that's just caught up in all the hair.
I bet that motherfucker, I bet you could smell Bigfoot from fucking...
Well, that's what people say. So many... Here's what I have to say about eyewitnesses. I do believe people feel that they've seen something.
Right, right.
You know, I think they're being honest. I think a lot of the people are being honest that they've seen something. A lot of people say, I don't know what the hell
I
saw.
They did.
Yeah,
but I know I saw
though.
Something. But a lot of them have reported... Well, the first thing I noticed was an overwhelming stench.
Man, yeah, that's...
Now, that's been pretty common. Well, there's one problem I see with that is you go through a walk in any forest, you'll come across an overwhelming stench at some point.
That's true.
It's usually me.
Every hunter will tell you
going in a
that.
Circle and finding my own smell.
No, I mean, look, things are decaying in the forest.
That's your upper lip.
They are.
You're right.
Do deer bury themselves? No. When a deer dies naturally.
Nature's fucked up and there's smells everywhere.
Yes.
You're absolutely right.
And there's a reason there's smells because it's telling the other things, stay away from this. It's rotten.
Mm-hmm.
And it's attracting other things like flies and insects saying, come get it and dispose of this.
Definitely.
And I had another point I was going to make, but I done forgot it.
You done
forgot
it.
I'm not going simulization, though.
Civilization. Yeah. So do we want to do this list first list here I've got?
Sure, let's hear it.
All right, well, this is different types of the, and actually, I don't have it. You have it, Everett. But
The different types of Bigfoot throughout the world.
Yeah,
so to speak.
Bigfoot type cryptids, and this is ListVerse, www.listverse.com. Listen, everybody knows I like lists, so we'll start with the European wild man. So he's like a.
You want to start in Europe first? Okay.
Yeah, fine.
Well, it's just number 10.
Yeah,
I mean,
start there.
Go
start
down
there.
The list, you know.
Because here's something I think Eric will quickly realize. Wherever you are in the world, Bigfoot somehow culturally conforms.
No, that's true. I've seen a map of Bigfoot sightings in the world, and it's not just America and Canada. They have Bigfoot sightings in Europe. They have Bigfoot sightings in Africa. They have them in Asia. They have them in Russia. There are Bigfoot sightings freaking everywhere. I mean,
mass hysteria, dogs and cats living together.
Yeah, in perfect harmony. So the European wild man. It doesn't sound much like a Bigfoot, but...
No, the European wild man's an interesting one because it's not supposedly a simian in the way we think of it. It's not an ape. It's like a bear?
It's
a feral man.
It's a feral man.
Yeah, it's a man who has gone out into the woods and basically has lost all sense of being a man, has started, like, you know whenever you release a pig into the wild?
I do.
And it grows tusks and it grows long hair?
Yes.
Basically the same thing. It's a wart human, like a warthog to a wart human.
Let me ask you that. How does a pig grow tusks when it takes, 200 years to domesticate them, and then they go out in the wild for 6 months, they grow fur and tusks?
I beats the shit out of me.
How the fuck does that happen?
It's just the way it works. It's like the killer whale thing. It just bends over when they're in captivity. There's certain things.
There's just certain shit I don't know, huh?
Yeah. So why don't you go on to number 9 real quick? I wanted to see how you'd pronounce this one. Oh, by the way, this is a list from ListVerse.com. It's 10 Bigfoot-type cryptids you may not know about. So if you wanted more.
But notice in Europe, though, Eric, before you go to number 9. In Europe, it's not a creature. It's a wild man.
A wild man, yeah.
Hence a little more civilized.
Which is European, yeah.
Okay, I'm with that. The Ngoy. Ngoy Rung?
I guess. Ngoy Rung. So that's one from Vietnam. It's basically the same thing. It's also known as a batutut, I guess, a batutat, or a ujit. It's a hairy, ape-like hominid said to inhabit the dense jungles of Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia, basically where we fought in Vietnam. You're surprised you wouldn't hear a lot
the
about
war in Vietnam?
The war in Vietnam. You're surprised you didn't hear about any Bigfoot stories coming out of there?
Yeah.
Well, they don't like napalm.
That's a good point. Nobody likes napalm. Well, what's his name does? Captain, what's his name?
Captain Kilgore does. Colonel Kilgore.
Colonel Kilgore
He
does.
Loves the smell of it in the morning, especially. side note, in Vietnam, something you don't hear about, there's the Vietnamese, and then there's also the natives of Vietnam that both armies would come across at times.
Like the Vietnamese
well, this
natives?
Is depicted in Apocalypse Now. That's who that is at the end of the movie. Natives to Southeast Asia.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
So here's a little something interesting from that. So by 1974, The sightings of these creatures were so frequent. North Vietnamese General Hoang Minh Thao, he actually ordered a scientific survey to attempt to locate them. But mostly all they did was ever get it was a plaster cast of a wide foot.
A wide foot?
That's all everybody gets is that plaster cast of the foot.
I've seen it.
Me too. Number 9 on the list is the Lilokan, or Lilokan? What do you
number
think?
Number 8.
Yeah, well, I'm not good with numbers.
We'll see here again. Scottish?
There's 2 9s in a row.
Okay.
And he's a wild man, too.
And he's a wild man.
Yeah, that's Europe for you.
See, most Scottish men are.
Yeah, and he's got Scottish attributes. Just look at the statue of him here on the picture.
Yeah, he wears animal skins. And in this, they make an interesting association here. Is people associate it with Merlin. In the classic Arthurian legends, Merlin wasn't the wizard that everybody thinks of with the robe and the pointy hat with the stars all over it.
Really?
He was a wild man in the forest. Like, you know, an oracle of the forest who's just crazy.
Wow.
Like Ragadast from the Hobbit stories, the brown wizard.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
A lot more like that than what you think of whenever you think of the classic wizard Merlin.
Yeah.
No, he was more of a wild man. So that's kind of interesting. China has one coming in at number 7.
Oh, the Yeren.
The Yeren.
Yeah, let's see you try to pronounce that.
The its extra name. Oh, I'm going to love fucking this one up. The Shinanjajirin.
Shinanjajirin.
Here's 60 Yeren, he says. It's another Bigfoot-type cryptid. It's from the northwestern Hubei province in China. It's, again, a big hairy fucking...
So it's north of the Himalayas. So... Right there, I would lend a little credence to the possibility.
Exactly, and I'm going to get to that point here in a minute. There's 3 or 4 of them that reside in the same exact area, like China, Mongolia, you know, all those in Laos, and all those Southeast Asia. They all have very similar Bigfoot stories. But the Yeren's been described since the early 1700s, so that's an old one.
Yeah.
I don't know how long Sasquatch has been described, but it was described by Native Americans in Northwest you know,
I'll cover that later.
Cover now if you want.
Okay, here's. I know a lot of people say, "Well, how can you deny it when Native Americans have?"
Oh, like Native Americans can't be full of shit too.
Well,
they do. They all have. You're right, though. They all have their original stories.
Piasaw bird.
Well, that's just what I was going to bring up. We live in the
Lion Eye,
the heartbeat, yeah. Basically the like main artery of America, the confluence of the Mississippi, Missouri, and Illinois rivers.
Yep.
Okay? The Piasaw bird is a long-standing legend. And it's depicted on cliffs as you walk, you know, go up the Mississippi River north of Alton, Illinois.
Let's stop real quick. For those who haven't listened to our cryptids episode, the Piasaw bird is a local legend we have of a giant fucking part dragon, part bird, part bat, part deer, mm-hmm. with a giant 15-foot tail that used to be... huge. It was swooped down and take people until the Lion Eye finally rose up and Chief Sam Squanch or whatever shot him with an arrow and killed him and he fell into the river.
Right.
Anyway, carry on.
So, here's something, I mean, American Native stories, first of all, they're all spoken word stories. This is verbal,
mm-hmm.
okay? They're anecdotal. Anecdotal,
right, change every time
anecdotal stories are just that. They're anecdotal and they're a tradition. However, there's a reason for this. If the three of us had a tribe and we had some just modicum of early agriculture going on, whether it be a grain that we're harvesting or animals that we're breeding for our consumption,
sure.
and not chasing around the plains like, you know, the
nomadic Indians.
Well, the Lakota and the Plains Indians, sure, as sure. they would migrate with buffaloes. Mm-hmm. Okay, what are you going to do to keep out other people from your food source?
Bash their head with a rock.
Well, you can do that, but that's costly and expensive, and you're putting
rocks are free.
You're putting yourself at risk. There's an element of risk there.
Sure, they might bash you first.
Oh, yeah. Okay, touche. I didn't think about
fight,
that.
To fight. Good point. To fight is always risky and costly.
Very mm-hmm. much so.
What's better to do is to develop legends on the periphery of your territory that keep other people from entering.
That's a damn good point.
Yeah.
If I had a tribe, I would invent a monster. Don't come around here, man. We got Sam Scranches.
We got crazy red-haired monsters under the street out back.
And it stinks.
Yes, and very it stinks. Bad. I mean, it's a way to protect yourself.
That's a good
yourself.
Way to say that. Think about that. It stinks. So when you're in the forest and you smell something bad,
turn around.
Run
get
back
out.
The way you were.
Dip, yeah.
Like we were saying, everywhere in the forest, you're going to find something decomposing.
That's why on totem poles in the Northwest, you'll see depictions of Bigfoot, you know, and all around Native American culture, they all have their version of something
right.
that's going to or hopes to scare away someone encroaching on their area. Because otherwise, you know, look, you got to keep your food supply.
Yeah,
you have the first priority of any nation, even today, is can it feed itself?
Yeah.
If it cannot feed itself, it cannot be a society.
No, yeah, you can't sustain.
So if you cannot sustain, you're going to get wiped out.
Or your civilization will fall.
So Bigfoot is a great way, such as the Piesaw bird was also a great way, to say, hey, don't come in here.
Yeah, it's just
now
like
today
a,
we do we it
got
as a
no
scare
extra
tactic.
Goddamn deer.
Today we do it in different ways. You know, you go onto a street, eagle eye watch on crime on this street. Do you know anyone who's eagle eyeing watching crime on your street? No,
there's a lot of nosy people.
Well, there's nosy people, but come on, are they taking pictures of cars and license plates?
Sometimes, right.
Not often, yeah.
But that's what you do, and it makes sense. And you got to commend the Native Americans for that because you know what, it worked.
How can white man come in one way or the other? I mean. I had to get used to that.
Yeah.
That was horrible. We kind of fucked them over. Trail of tears and all.
Trail of tears and all. Yeah.
And all. Deal, huh? Yeah.
So back to the list. Number six, going along that Southeast Asia thing, or
yeah.
even Asia, Eastern Asia, Middle Asia. Pakistan had something called the Barmanu, which is just another big hairy one. That's what it means in Pakistani is hairy one, Barmanu.
Oh, they told me they called me the Barmanu when I went to Pakistan.
Is that what they called you, the hairy one? Oh, good Lord, that was your porno name, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, Barmanu.
So the Barmanu, and this is from that same article, was first brought to the outside world's attention by Spanish cryptozoologist Jordi Magrainer, who described it as resembling a Neanderthal, sometimes wearing animal skins and possessed of an especially foul stench. There you go.
Foul stench?
So him and a team of his investigators traveled regularly to the region between 1992 and 1994. Reporting footprints and gutter, grunting sounds in the night, which say a tribute to a primitive voice box the animal must have had.
Hmm.
He continued his research, but apparently, or what had happened on August 2nd, 2002, he was murdered by his Pakistani guide just a few weeks before he planned to return to Europe with all of his findings. So,
why, did they say why he murdered him?
No.
Were they in the Tora Bora region?
Piece of shit out of me.
Wow, that guy just
is that
fucking murdered
war-torn?
Him.
Well, no, not in 2002, but you got to remember that, you know, those northern provinces of Pakistan, again, you're mountainous.
That's where
beyond
Osama bin Laden hit
that,
out.
Exactly.
Tora Bora.
I used to play chess.
No, you didn't.
No, chess, or the Barmanu and Osama played chess. That's why we killed him, the Barmanu. He knew too much.
I don't believe that.
All right, going on the list. One of my favorites, and everybody's heard of this one, the Alma. Tell me you both have heard of the Alma.
Nope. I've heard of the Alma.
It's a Mongolian version of it. Another, you know,
damn
Central
Mongols.
Asian, Eastern, Southeastern Asia example of...
Well, this would be Asian plains up in Mongolia.
Fair. That's kind of Central Asia, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, again, this is more of a wild man version of the story, just like we have in Asia. There's no underlayer of hair, so you could sometimes see its skin. So what
that
means...
cone-shaped head.
Right. It's one of the ones that's got the big fucking, like... Harry and the Henderson style.
Right.
Six head, five head, six head.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the Uriuli of Southwest Alaska. That's another North American one, if you're not familiar with Alaska.
Uriuli, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that's another wild man type creature. The picture of it on his, he's got a ballin' ass ripped six pack and bare
yeah,
chest.
He's a club Sasquatch.
He's like, chink, chink, chink.
Yeah, he's been at LA Fitness or something.
There's been sightings as recently as 1999 when a group discovered some huge tracks along the bank of Belkovsky Bay. Later that same year, some people reported seeing a giant ape creature with extremely long arms standing on two legs. They go on to say terrifyingly that the creature just was described as standing over 4 meters tall, which is 13 foot.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Can you fucking imagine?
All right, now Robert Wadlow, the world's tallest man ever recorded.
8 foot 11 and 1 half.
Now we're 4 feet above Robert Wadlow.
Yeah, it makes Robert Wadlow look like a bitch. 10 foot maybe, but what is it, 13 foot?
So we're, no, wait, hang on. Now we're up into my favorite conspiracy. We're into giants now.
Yeah, that's a giant.
That's a giant.
We're into giants now.
Yeah.
Is what that is.
And whenever you get giants on, you got to automatically bring up the Smithsonian, as Eric would always remind us.
Definitely, because
why do you always bring up the Smithsonian with giants?
Because all the skeletons that have been found in the mounds, the mound builders were giants. All the mounds around North America, they were allegedly built by the giants. And the Smithsonian covers up all of their excavations and findings because it doesn't fit the Darwinian mold, the Darwinian model.
Well, that's interesting. My
That says, though, that the Smithsonian has the...
That's the theory.
No, hold on.
That, but that's the theory.
There's some linkage there, though, because my family... owned property, which a mound was on.
Really?
You can see it today. It's the Chuckalo Mound in Fairmont City.
Okay.
It was excavated, and remnants were removed and taken for study.
Who studied
it? It's a minor mound. Smithsonian.
Oh,
Smithsonian. It's a minor mound. It's not.
It's
probably from, you know, just to walk up, it may be 10 to 12 feet tops.
Right.
That's a decent mound, though, because you think about Snake Mound in Ohio, yay high, a foot, you know, a meter tall.
Yeah, but it's not the... 40 to 50 foot.
You know, those are hundreds.
Now, granted, I don't know, for people not familiar with this area, as the crow flies, it's 3 miles from the big mound at Cahokia, mm-hmm. Great Mound.
Yes.
You know, but since it was on his property, they had to get his the family's permission to excavate and everything. And, you know, they found remains and everything. It is what it is. It's a burial.
Right.
But yeah, it was the Smithsonian, I think, with the University of Massachusetts or another northeastern school.
Yeah, because that's a lot of the big argument whenever you're talking about giants is that they've found, like, have you ever seen the pictures of, like,
everybody's seen them.
You know, they found them. It's been covered up by the Smithsonian, you know, because that would totally destroy, like, evolution if there were these, you know, or just at least the written history of.
How come the Smithsonian themselves have a buy-in that Darwin is correct? That's what I always wondered. Why? What fucking, you know?
I don't think they do have a
dollar.
Buy-in.
Do they have in the game?
I don't think that they do.
Well, I mean, they it's like evolution.
They spend so much money on those diagrams of monkey to man. Is that what you're saying?
They can't adjust the diagrams,
right? You would think that they would and should. I mean, that's what science is about: changing your mind upon new, introduction of new evidence. You know, you have to. You have to be moldable. You have to be flexible.
If it was real, they'd get it out there.
You think so?
Yes.
What reason do they have to keep it? I mean,
look, they get out new dinosaurs whenever they can.
We believe in evolution.
Of course, there's also another theory.
As soon as they caught a coelacanth?
A coelacanth, yeah.
Yeah, a coelacanth.
That's been fucking 65 million years they thought it was extinct.
I didn't know that.
They're really...
The coast of Africa.
I mean, they don't get any further research money by keeping things under wraps.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, that we know of. Black budgets, bud.
Black budgets. We'll pay you to not show that. Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah. So, I'm just giving you shit, man.
So there was a number three on the list is the Nitaewo, Nitaewo. I wish these had pronunciations on these lists. That would really be handy. Not that I would probably be able to get those.
I think it goes however you want.
Sometimes
it,
the pronunciation spellings are harder to read than the actual word.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. So this was in Sri Lanka.
Now see, this is interesting when you get it onto an island.
Right. Yeah, where the fuck did it go? It had to be hunted or...
Well, it had to come off of India in the subcontinent in some fashion,
mm-hmm.
but then had to be stranded in terms of evolution on the island.
They were described as far back as the first century AD by Pliny the Elder. Apparently they have historical records in Sri Lanka going back 2,000 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 2,000
really?
Years old, sure.
Huh.
But the legend claims that there were Vedas responsible for eliminating... The Vedas were themselves were like a real tribe of people back in the day. They were responsible for eliminating the entire Nitaewo race, which they trapped in a cave. So I guess they got sick of them, ran them up in a cave, and caused them to... They piled firewood around the entrance to the cave and set it alight, causing them to suffocate
and
from
the smoke. Got randomly selected for extinction.
Nitaewo.
The Veda describes the Nitaewo as an orangutan-like climbers a little over 3 feet tall, covered in dark red fur. So that goes back to the whole question you had.
Not a Bigfoot.
When does it become a Bigfoot and not just a regular foot or a little foot?
Can I give a few things on when it becomes a Bigfoot?
Yeah, open forum here, bud. You can just jump in whenever you want.
I think we got to say 7'6" and above.
7.5 feet and above?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and higher?
I think we have to say a body sort of mass.
But let me ask you this, though. If you saw a 7-foot bipedal ape-like creature in the woods, you're still going to consider that a Bigfoot.
Hey, what if it's an adolescent?
At 7 feet? Yeah, that's the thing. How come no one ever reports seeing kid big feet?
Yeah, little feet.
Yeah.
Littlefoot.
And not the
Mini
band.
Sass.
I saw him in 1983.
Baby Sass.
Good fan. Yeah, good band.
We'll get there. No, no. They were in a movie. They lived on a moon.
Who?
The Little Feet.
The Little Feet.
They,
no one ever reports seeing a teenage Bigfoot.
No, no.
Seeing a prepubescent
emo
Bigfoot.
Yeah, one got problems and skateboarding
right
and shit.
Right. Let's sidetrack real quick here, and let's assume that Bigfoot is real, lives in the Northwest United States.
Mm.
How would Bigfoot have to live to where we would not have seen him? What are some assumptions we'd have to make? One, you pretty much got
to
assume he lives underground.
Has
all
to be,
of the Bigfoot live
has
underground.
Has to be in a cave structure.
Yeah, because you're not living outside just
in any
fucking
kind of close to a
no
above ground den. You're not living in the trees.
No. And really, your entrance to your cave, if you're living in a cave, it better be fucking well hidden. I mean, because, dude, the chances, here's my thing with Bigfoot. The chances of us not finding a Bigfoot by now are just slim to none. Now, I can understand if it was like the Marianas Trench. There's no humans been down there hardly
yeah
a couple
there's
times.
Been three.
That's what I said. A couple times there's been humans down there, but people don't go walking around down there. It's not like this is a very well, you know. Above the water, there's, I mean, not much space to hide here. You know, there's some chance over the next 50 years or the last 50 years, somebody's going to see you.
Right. And if they have a entrance to a cave mouth that they're coming in and out of, and anybody walks by, you're going to see dozens of prints. I mean,
traffic. Yeah, the traffic for that.
Well,
yeah,
there's another thing, though. I think it has to hibernate.
That would make sense as
yeah
well.
Yeah, that's a great question.
How,
does Bigfoot hibernate?
How many times do you hear about Bigfoot in the winter in the Cascades, Sierra Nevadas?
I don't know. I watched an hour documentary this morning on a guy who was driving through northern Canada. He actually drove out to the boonies and did a whole, you know.
Jeff Stevens or whatever his name was.
I don't remember. He had some weird teeth.
Yeah.
They were like kind of up front.
Red hair.
Any which way. He was out in the wintertime looking for Bigfoot.
Okay.
So
but what,
every now and then. He didn't see
but
shit.
What part of winter? You still
oh
see bears in the winter.
Snow.
It was the snowy part,
okay,
wasn't
okay
it, ever?
Yeah, the real snowy part.
Because I would think what a Bigfoot would, assuming, again, real, if you're 7.5 feet tall and you're weighing 500, 600 pounds, yes, you can move through snow, but do you want to? Do you want to expend that kind
well
of energy?
No. Think
because
about how
the caloric
matted that would be on your hair, if you, like all the ice you'd be carrying
okay
with you.
But oh, the caloric
yeah
necessity, the calories that you're going to burn versus the calories that you could possibly intake in the winter do not match up.
No.
That's why I think, yes, caves, and yes, it has to hibernate in some form.
Yeah.
Or at least, if not hibernating, store up food.
Yeah. Like chipmunks and shit, squirrels.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a very good point, man. I mean, it's got to hibernate because I don't know how that it could – I mean, I guess it could store food, but I think hibernation's probably the most likely scenario. Apes don't hibernate, though, do they?
What's that?
Apes don't hibernate.
No, they do not.
None that I know of, yeah.
So now, hang on now. We're basing this off of basically an ape anatomy almost, right? Well, physiology even.
I mean, if you're making educated guesses, that's what you got to do.
But
at the same time, hibernation makes sense if you want to limit the amount of exposure it has. You can assume a type of hibernation or at least a forced seclusion, you know,
again,
what I mean, during winter.
It just fits the mold is
well,
why we're putting hibernation
back
in
to
there
my thing, why I would lend credits to the Yeti but don't believe in Bigfoot.
Right.
Well, the Yeti is adapted to an environment that is always pretty much that environment unless it wants to drop down to the tree line.
Right, right. Okay? Yeah, that's a great point.
Bigfoot is in a very adaptable environment that goes from spring, summer, fall, winter.
Yeah.
In the Cascades and the Brooks Mountain Ranges.
Pacific
and
Northwest.
And
the
what do you call it, the Denali Range.
Denali in Alaska.
In Alaska.
Yeah.
Sierra Nevadas.
Sure.
You know, all the classic spots that it's ever been seen have seasonal weather. And it's not going to adapt to seasonal weather.
You
if I'm 7 foot tall, do I want to be walking around against a white background and I'm dark furred?
Oh, no.
Generally, no. And if you're 7 foot tall and covered in hair, do you want to be walking around in the 90-degree heat?
No.
That's not an adaption that would make a lot of sense.
Right. That's another thing. Like, so if Bigfoot, you know, is here in America, he would have adapted to lose some hair, you think? Maybe because, like, I mean.
But one thing about mountain ranges
is it's fucking hot.
Yes, there are spots where the heat's going to be there, but they're not that hot.
No.
Like, the Cascades and Sierra, it's pretty damn pleasant out there.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. And there's not much humidity either.
I've never been anywhere.
There's not much humidity. That's why you don't hear a lot about Bigfoots in Mississippi. Although you have heard
actually,
about them in Arkansas.
Yeah, I was going to say there's Arkansas versions of it. What's the big one from Arkansas called?
White River Monster.
The White River Monster, yeah. There's the Bogey Creek Monster in Kentucky, the Skunk Ape of Florida. There's the Minnesota Wild Man, but that's a whole different one. You guys hadn't heard of the Minnesota Wild Man before. We were talking about it before the show. So back in the day, there was kind of a traveling carnival act that, you know, that was pretty common back in the day. You'd have traveling, like Ripley's Believe It or Not museums that go around. This guy supposedly had a frozen Iceman that he would carry around. It was just a big block of ice that you could see the frozen dude on the inside. Remember on The Simpsons, they even had a frozen block of ice, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
It turned out to be the old man lost from the nursing home. Mm-hmm. Any which way.
Hans Bowman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He traveled around the region, and after a while, people got to notice it. It looked like he even had a different version of the monster. So what it comes out is that this company in California eventually releases that this guy had contracted them to build a latex and fur model human, you know what I mean? And then he just puts it in a big old vat and freezes it and puts it up. So it's not that he had a whole different version of it. It's that it unfroze, and he had refrozen, and it was slightly repositioned. So, yeah, that was a big hoax, but it was just an asshole guy going around getting people to pay money to see a fake fucking Bigfoot.
Yeah, but that's great, though. Good for him. It's entrepreneurial. Yeah,
exactly. I was just thinking the guy's got to make a business.
How much shit
you
think
money.
Of Ripley's is bullshit?
A lot?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But you pay.
That makes me sad.
When you pay your money
so
going
in,
you
Ripley's,
know.
Believe it or not.
You know that some of this is just, come on. Well, here, the Everett, the biggest one Bigfoot hoax of all time. Patterson-Gimlin.
The Patterson-Gimlin tape.
Yeah.
That's the best one ever because it gave us the best description we ever had of Bigfoot, which was, he is blurry.
Yeah, Mitch Hedberg.
Hedberg is the best ever, dude.
Maybe that's just him. Maybe it's just blurry.
Which I find to be even more scary. There's a big
blurry
amorphous blob.
Patterson-Gimlin, all right? They're on an expedition already looking for Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And they come across Bigfoot in a very advantageous spot in a creek bed that's dry, where they can film it walking a fairly good distance before it goes up into the tree line. So that's number one. Number two, it's my understanding, and I could be wrong, that it is an open Hollywood secret among the FX people that this was one of the development suits for Planet of the Apes.
Really?
I had heard that before, too, that the Patterson-Gimlin was like a prototype they didn't use.
That makes sense.
I'm glad they didn't, because I don't want a blurry ape in the Planet of the Apes movie.
And then there's everything.
They didn't have HD yet, Victor.
There's everything surrounding Patterson and Gimlin themselves.
What do you know about Patterson and Gimlin that makes them so?
Just research Patterson deathbed confession for one, and
sure.
And you know, come on, they were on horseback. What do you think horses would do?
Oh, they'd freak the fuck out.
Exactly. They would have been stranded out there because horses would have ran away. If any creature given off that type of, you know, a horse knows, oh, there's a guy in a suit. See, the animals
know. Yeah, animals will know.
The animals
yeah, you're
know.
Absolutely right. The animal will know.
It's like the crazy people at the mental ward, they know the guy who comes in is not crazy and embeds with them.
Oh, yeah, they can tell
that
shit.
They know right away.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're pretty normal, aren't you? Yeah. Around here, we get some crazy guys. Look at Al over there. He's eating the puzzle. Anyway. Let's go back to the list. Number two on the list is the Honey Island Swamp Monster.
That's a great name.
The Honey Island Swamp Monster?
Yes.
It's almost like Coney Island.
I like
Coney
it.
Island Swamp
well,
Monster.
Well, it's close to Honey Badger as well.
It honestly sounds like a Scooby-Doo episode. Scooby-Doo and the Honey Island Swamp Monster. I don't know.
And he would have got away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling Bigfoots.
Meddling kids. It takes off his mask.
By the way, in your upcoming pop culture segment. Yes.
Got some good stuff there.
Well,
let's get to it. Let's go to number one. Blah blah blah. Siberia's Chuchachna. It was in Siberia. It was 2 meters tall.
2 meters. See, that's 6 feet and above.
Yeah, that's a normal.
And again,
guy.
they're describing a wild man, more or less, right?
Yeah. Protruding brow, long matted hair. Sounds more like a Neanderthal to me, mm-hmm. with the protruding brow and whatnot. But yeah, more man than beast.
Right.
So anyway, let's move on to blah 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 blah. Hoaxes we covered, some stories.
But the hoaxes go on and on and on. Because in the early days, the hoaxes were pretty simple. Strap on a pair of the big feet and sure. run around the forest in long strides. And doing so, guess what happens? Well, your local economy will boom. Get a newspaper article. all of a sudden, restaurants, hotel rooms.
I was going to say, there's got to be dozens of roadside museums that have opened up in the Northwest.
The Pacific Northwest is littered with Bigfoot attractions. And it's fabulous. It's fun. Sure. I would definitely recommend going and doing them because it's cool.
I've never
been
to one.
It's fun, but you got to know. No, I've just driven by them.
Like the Alien Cafe outside Area 51.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like something like
just
that.
Just cool shit, you know?
Yeah, every area's got their weird shit. We got Piasol, but we don't have any Piasol birds.
We're not marketing it right.
Oh, yeah, we don't. Yeah, you're right. We should.
Step up your game.
No, they're marketing Fast Eddie's right, not Piasol bird. Yeah. Fast Eddie's gets more marketing than the Piasol bird.
Right.
That's great. Well, let's move into pop culture.
Popular culture.
I wanted to tell a story I saw about on YouTube. It was actually two videos that kind of linked together. The first was a news report of a guy who claimed to have tracked Bigfoot over 7 miles in the snow. This guy was adamant. He caught onto a trail and he was out.
Tracked him 7 miles?
In the snow.
Okay.
He found the prints. He took pictures of them. They had it on the news, showed the prints and everything.
He was hype.
And eventually gets to the point where it says the trail stopped. The Bigfoot just kind of swished his foot over the track and disappeared out into the wilderness. So that was a pretty interesting story. But a week later, the news runs another video that they had got an anonymous package in the mail that had pictures of this guy's Bigfoot shoes he had created. And the story that they were fucking with another friend of theirs had nothing to do with this guy. I didn't even know he was there. But they were out messing with their buddy, walking through the forest, creating these big
with these Bigfoot shoes
with
on?
These Bigfoot
Get
shoes.
Get the fuck out of here.
And this guy found him. But whenever the news contacted the guy, it said, "Hey, we got this. We got the pictures of these shoes that match your tracks." He's like, "No, it's a Bigfoot. I know what I was after." It's just
he wouldn't believe them when they were telling him, "Like, there's a guy fucking with you. He was trying to do this to a friend."
And exactly.
Like, no, it's a Bigfoot.
That's how some people get. You know what I mean? He's invested at this point. I was on the fucking news saying I believe in Bigfoot. It was a Bigfoot.
It was Bigfoot.
Hard headed. I mean, that's America for you. We're all hard heads.
Yeah.
Well, confirmation bias.
Yep.
It's what it is.
Sure is. Okay. Pop culture.
Harry and the Hendersons, man. First and foremost.
That's your favorite Bigfoot movie?
No, that's my favorite Bigfoot movie.
Oh, it's a good Bigfoot movie.
And John Lithgow.
It's not first and
foremost. Don Ameche.
Yes.
John Lithgow. Don Ameche.
Yeah.
Cocoon.
What would you consider first and foremost in Bigfoot pop culture?
I'm older than you guys.
Okay.
True.
So you got to remember, prior to 1958 in America, there's really no Bigfoot sightings.
Okay.
They get the newspaper article in, starts going.
You're going to tell us about a
Patterson,
magazine, aren't you?
You get Patterson Gimlin in 67.
I don't know.
You get Planet of the Apes in 69.
You damn dirty apes.
By that time, everybody's now seeing Bigfoot all over the place. In the high water mark of the 70s, Eric, if you were a kid in the 70s, there was one show on Sunday night at 7 o'clock that you tuned into.
What was it?
The Bionic Man.
$6 million man. Steve Austin.
He wasn't a Bigfoot, though.
Hold on.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
Okay. He's like, shut up. Let me fucking follow me here.
Right. The high water mark of the 70s for a kid would either be Evel Knievel jumping some stuff or the two-part episode of the Bionic Man, the $6 million man, meets Bigfoot.
I watched this on YouTube.
And I made Everett watch it.
Was it epic?
It's epic.
Oh, nice.
It's so bad. I mean, take how bad you think they would have fucked up making a Bigfoot suit and a fight in the 70s on a network TV show and triple how bad it is. That's what you're getting at.
That rough, huh?
I suggest anybody listening get on YouTube and search $6 million man Bigfoot. In fact, as soon as you type $6 million man, it's the first thing.
It's the first thing that comes up as the next word.
That's great. That's fucking great.
That's how big it was. I'm telling you, my life was dominated by these things, like Evel Knievel, semi-trucks, and Bigfoot.
Semi-trucks, hell yeah.
If you could have, like...
Yeah, that convoy and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, if you could have merged BJ and the Bear with Bigfoot...
BJ and
Mary.
Made,
if you could have made the Bear...
A Bigfoot?
That would
have been awesome.
Driving the truck... Best TV show ever.
I would have never stepped away. I've been glued the whole time.
Next. Now, that happens in, I think, 74, 75, maybe. Bionic Man episode. But next up is one everyone kind of glosses over. Bigfoot is such a huge-ass deal in American culture that George Lucas, who, by the way, is from where?
What do you mean?
Who was it? Sorry.
George Lucas.
George Lucas?
Fuck, I don't know.
And where does he live now?
Couldn't tell you.
Northern California.
Yeah. San Bernardino, right?
Puts Bigfoot into Star Wars.
Oh, yes, Chewie.
Chewie. If we don't have this Bigfoot phenomena...
Chewie's like a pivotal character.
We don't have Wookiees.
That's a good point. I mean, there's no way you just come up with what a fucking Wookiee is on
your own. You're right. That's an excellent point without the Bigfoot conspiracy.
He does that in episode 4. In episode 5, they have the fucking Wampa.
They go abominable snowman.
That's the thing that attacks Luke in the beginning, right
before he gets put in the Tauntaun.
They took the Tauntaun horns and stuck it on a fucking Yeti.
Turned him down.
It was exactly the same
thing. That was a fucking Yeti. That was a fucking Yeti. Wow, that's nuts,
and
man.
I still contend we will be treated to a Wampa?
Wampa, yeah.
A Wampa-Wookiee showdown at some point.
I want to see a Wampa-Wookiee hybrid.
Did you know that, what was it, Chewie cut that dude's arm off in the original version of that? And what was it, in episode 7? No, this was an edited scene. In episode 7, in that bar, in Maz Kanata's bar, he originally went in with them and ripped some dude's arm off right out of its socket to go back to the old ones. Like, Wookiees don't rip people's arms out of socket.
Episode 4.
Is that what it was? Yeah, but there was a scene that he actually did that.
He did. Cool. Right. Because that was another, again, that wasn't that Bigfoot lore?
Mm-hmm.
That they catch you, they basically rip your arms out.
Yeah, rip your limb from limb.
Bigfoot is so big that episode 4 and episode 5
and then episode 6,
we get Ewoks. Let's make cute little Bigfeet.
Mini Bigfeet, yeah, little Bigfeet.
Jawa.
Littlefoot, Jawa.
They had to have something for Princess Leia.
How does it go?
Donk, donk.
So I guess in that sense of thinking, Bigfoot gave us Barf, because he's a parody of Chewie. Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Mog. Half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend.
He's a parody of Chewie.
And then you get to Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, Frank Reynolds has a great one. Bugs Bunny had a run-in with the Yeti.
He did. That monster, the big orange monster.
Catch him and keep him.
All of my own days.
Come on, George.
Yeah, come on, George.
That's pretty, like a lot of the old Bugs Bunny, that was pretty mean to, like, slow people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's based on George from Of Mice and Men.
I get that, but
or
still.
Is it Lenny?
That was Lenny.
It's based on Lenny. Yeah.
Well, that's why he says George.
Yeah, exactly. On a list I found on IMDb for the top 25 Bigfoot movies you must see.
Oh, boy.
Number one was Harry and the Hendersons.
Harry and the Hendersons is a great movie.
My father-in-law, I'm not kidding, thought that was real.
Oh, man.
He said, what do you mean? He goes, I thought they trained this monkey thing. I said, no, that's a suit.
No, come on. For real?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, shit.
He just thought it was some primate that they...
And what?
That they trained.
Harry and Hendersons?
Yes.
That's beautiful,
we had to convince him that Harry and the was not real.
That's beautiful.
Now, he also has a lifetime supply of peanut butter army rations for the apocalypse when that comes, so he'll be covered.
Hell yeah, peanut butter's good.
Gross.
I like peanut butter.
Gross.
In the little servant bag?
Oh, hell, I can eat shit out of peanut butter. I like peanut butter.
So, Eric, you turned me on to this one before today, and just one thing I didn't even know about was Les Stroud, the Survivor Man from the Survivor Man TV show.
He had a couple good opinions. He swears up and down, though.
He's the most legit of the Survivor Men, in my opinion. He makes Bear Grylls look like a bitch because all his shit is like scenarios that they create and present. I don't doubt that the guy could survive, but we're not seeing him survive.
No.
He's better than any of those other guys. I like the dual survivor guys.
Is Les Stroud the one with the bandana?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Dude, what about like Naked and Afraid? You ever see that?
No, it's not my thing.
That's a survival show, too. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
But like I was saying, he's the one I believe the most. I believe he's ex-military. Long story short, he believes he had a run-in with a Bigfoot. So the story goes he's out filming an episode. It's like day 3 or day 4 or 5. He's setting up he's collecting grass and baling it up to create a bedding for him to sleep in that night.
Right.
Well, he gets done doing the part where he's filming him doing the grass. He's actually doing the work now to create his place where he's got to sleep tonight. And he over by the trees, he starts to hear a little bit of a rustle. And he looks over and he sees a big shadowy figure across the front of the tree face kind of take off. He can't really get a good look at it. But in his mind, what he believes he saw was more than likely a Bigfoot. And if Les Stroud, of all people, can't say that it was, I think I saw a bear, I think I saw a moose.
Well, he can tell you, like, he listens to things like how close their steps are in the leaves, how heavy they're sounding. So, I mean, like, this guy's a pure nature enthusiast.
He's
a tracker and all kinds of exactly.
Shit.
So, for him to come out and say, like, this, definitively it was not a bear. You know, for him to come out and say this, like, you got to, like, okay, he's right. You know what I mean? He's not saying it's Bigfoot, but he knows definitively it's not a bear. You know what I mean? It's
Food for thought.
Yeah, definitely.
I was thinking, too, do you think that a moose could be mistaken for a Bigfoot.
Sure.
Think if you're standing.
Mooses are huge, dude.
Yeah, like they could be 12, 13 foot tall at the top of the head. They got the giant rack.
Yeah.
If you're far enough away and it's kind of dusk, what you might see is a giant chested being with a huge old head, what looks like arms coming up menacingly. Know what I mean?
Does a moose like do the tree scratches like a bear does?
Sure, the where they rub on the thing, sure.
That's with their antlers. I mean, do they ever put their two front hooves up on a tree?
Couldn't tell you.
I don't know. See, I don't know. Because that would make a moose significant. I mean, already most moose, if you know, like they have a problem in Alaska. I don't know if you've heard this, but like, you know, moose are really curious.
There's a lot of them up there. So, yeah. And there's moose crossings everywhere.
So they will come around, and they've experienced a problem with the, like, electronic doors at supermarkets, because the moose will walk by, the electronic door will open, and the moose will walk in.
Let's go in, huh? Oh, fuck.
Because they're curious.
Right. Kristen had a moose in her yard one time. She lives in Anchorage now, but I forget where exactly she was living in Alaska. We went up there a year or two ago. It was great. We saw a wild grizzly in the fucking river we were driving by.
That's gotta
wild
be nuts,
moose.
Dude.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. The only other thing I got was there's a sound I wanted to talk about that they make.
Well, let's go back to the Stroud thing, though.
Go ahead.
You know, in that thing, he came across this thing where the trees were uprooted and then stuck back into the ground, mm-hmm. I think upside down.
They were definitely misplaced.
That's weird to me because that's a lot of effort to hoax. So, now look, it's totally hoaxable. You can pull it off.
Right.
But what would motivate anything to uproot a tree and then stick it in the ground upside down?
Upside down, yeah.
Boredom. You don't think Bigfoot sitting around going, what
again,
the fuck am I going to do
today? Again, the calories expended versus the reward.
No. Yeah, that's a good point. Why?
In nature, everything is about simple economics.
It's a trade-off, yeah. What can I get out of whatever?
Yes. That's why tigers and bears quit running after stuff after a while, because like, well,
mm-hmm.
Want to blow my heart?
Not worth it.
Yeah. All right, the sound.
What was the sound? Was it like,
I'm going to do a big. It's similar to that. It's similar to what monkeys make, but it's more like, whoo, whoo. That's, I've heard it described three or four times as kind of like a whoo, like a whoo sound. You know what I mean?
I heard it, well, the way Les Stroud described it, it was more like a, like an ape. Ah, but, you know, but
like
deeper a little bit.
Hold on, you can do these fairly well.
Yeah, like that versus over. It was
Tony
like
is
a
our
whoopee.
Go-to monkey.
Almost like office. A whoopee.
But here's what a chimp will do.
Here we go.
They do the low, and they have a specific name for that. But then it
gets higher as they go. Nice. That was fucking good.
Yeah, he's our go-to monkey guy.
Yeah, that was
but have you
heard, impressed.
See, when you go to a zoo, though, you don't get to hear the gorillas doing their thing.
No,
though.
Not their natural
not
shit.
Not generally.
No.
Yeah.
So, you know, the only thing I've ever heard a gorilla do is, like, one morning early at a zoo.
I've seen
it did
that.
The chest
yep.
thing,
I've
and it sounded nothing like I thought it would
sound. It sounds hollow whenever
it
they do.
It sounds hollow.
Yeah, like, thunk, 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 thunk.
Right. I was like, what is that? And then I look over and... You know, he just did that for a couple beats, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my God, that's how
yeah.
that sounds?
Yeah, gnarly, dude. They hit their chest. It's
do, 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 do.
Fuck with me, son.
Yeah.
You're saying.
Yeah.
Dare you. All right, that's all I had for today. What else you guys got?
Yeah, that's it. I mean,
kind of a short show today, but it's Bigfoot. What are you going to do?
I got the reasons, though, that I don't think it exists.
Let's run through them for sure.
This is Bigfoot in North America.
These are
this is why
Tony's
Bigfoot.
10 top 10.
No, it's not mine, but it's kind of the consistent.
It's Tony's top 10 list. He stole from somebody else. Yes. It might not be 10 things, but it's a list.
So we're calling it.
Everett's touched on a couple of these, but the first one foremost, other than Gigantopithecus, there is zero in the fossil record for this thing.
Yeah.
Unless, again, the Smithsonian.
unless we got to lay a conspiracy on top of a surreal sort of creature. You brought up breeding population.
Mm-hmm.
To not be a completely inbred thing, it's got to have a population that's sort of sizable, and something that size in an area you're close enough to breed.
Yeah, that's why they got to live underground.
Would have a huge effect on the food supply.
Can you imagine their food stores? Yeah, they'd have to have a food store. I was thinking about that, too. There's nothing in a cave, unless there's somehow got a place where they can easily pick out cave fish. that makes living in a cave an easy thing to do.
No.
Especially for any kind of population.
No, yeah, that's basically like a dead end. You know what I mean? You go in, you sleep, you got to come back out to do anything.
Unless you have the perfect cave that has multiple entrances and somehow
unless
you can
see
spring, in the dark.
Well, okay, do...
fresh spring water and shit.
Springs and caves even have living organisms in them like fish?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they just opened up a cave. Where was it? It was somewhere in Asia, and I can't remember where it was, but they opened it up, and it was like the fish in there had, when they'd went into this cave, and I guess some big, you know, collapse had caused it to be shut off, but I guess when the fish had swam in there, they had eyes, and over like the hundreds or thousands
Mammoth
of
Cave
years,
in Kentucky has that, too.
And over the hundreds or thousands of years.
They don't need them.
They yeah. just fucking don't have their eyes anymore. They're just like...
Yeah, Mammoth Cave, Kentucky has eyeless fish. You can go see those. That's... Couple four
That's
five
nuts.
Hours
Number three on my list. Look, I believe the eyewitnesses. I think the majority of them are being truthful that they had an encounter. They believe they're telling the truth. But as any detective will tell you, eyewitness testimony is often the most unreliable. In fact,
yes.
Eyewitness testimony is famously unreliable. If you took my wife and I and we watched the same event,
mm-hmm.
you will get two very distinct stories.
Oh, yeah,
That's
definitely.
The great thing about it. You can have two people tell the stories, and as they chain tell it like the game Password down, you know, eight different sets of ears telling it, retelling it, retelling it. By the time both sets of that stories gets back around, it's two different events.
Now, a lot of people are going to always say, well, Tony, what about the footprints, man? There's footprints all over the world. Well, here's the thing. First of all, a lot of scientists... Everett, what's your shoe size?
13.
I'm a 13. You and I go walking around in mud or snow. If you got right behind us, you'd probably say, yeah, that's a guy with a size 13 shoe.
Sure.
Give it some time. It morphs.
Sure. I can buy that.
Now, does it morph into something 18 inches long? And, well, I don't know. But,
it could. Hell, but, the Bigfoot originally could have been somebody making a snowshoe, and whoever saw it thought, oh, my God, the only thing they make this is a giant fucking foot.
And I've seen the things about, well, this, you know, this animal walks in a way where it lands flat-footed, it doesn't go heel-toe, and it's got a metatarsal break and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem with any footprint evidence. There's no verifiable, empirical standard of evidence to measure it against. You can't go to the museum and pull out the footprint of
there's
a,
no control
of a
right.
there's no control specimen
right
so yeah but against what
no that's a good point.
Number five, to this day, and we live in a video age now for 30 plus years. Now we live in the portable video age, the instantaneous video age,
the HD portable video age.
We still don't have any reliable video. Now, right. I think we have plenty of reliable video of bears, of guys in suits, and of just blurry things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But at some point, you need video with distinct facial features. And even then, it's like, okay, that's a really good...
Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
Yes.
If we're still, from time to time, finding greater ape species in the Congo area and Central Africa, and that's so sparsely populated, but we're still doing it, just to say we are.
Okay.
We've found species in the past 150 years in the Congo that we never thought they existed.
Right.
And it's so sparse over there. Think about the American Northwest. Much less sparsely populated.
Not nearly as sparse as the Congo.
Yet we still can't find this one or any real fucking good evidence of it.
And plus we have heat mapping. Do you know the heat signature a Bigfoot would have to put off?
400-pound fucking 450-pound monster?
700, 600-pound.
Yeah.
Huge.
If you had heat vision... You would see a huge bloom. All you'd have to do is fly helicopter, Pat. That's why I think, if you want to believe the cave thing makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Well, it disrupts the heat pattern for all these things, except when they're out foraging for food, some point they have to be.
The Bigfoot wouldn't know. They're not smart enough to know that that's disrupting their heat pattern.
Maybe they aren't. No, they're not Arnold Schwarzenegger and Predator knowing if I cover myself
in mud.
Let's
talk about this. There you go. Let's talk about how intelligent are these big feet? Or Yetis? I mean, they're intelligent an animal, obviously, but like they can't be any.
The great apes are highly intelligent by standards, right? They've taught Coco 400 words?
Yeah, yeah.
Coco has asked for a cat?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you have to assume at least a baseline of intelligence, I would think, right there.
Right. Well, I wouldn't say baseline. I would say that's like probably the best you're going to get out of an ape is what they taught Coco. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say that would be like an average.
Amy from Congo. Amy, bad.
Gorilla, bad.
Remember the movie?
Bad Amy. Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, that was pretty smart too.
You know, but
it's not out of line to think they could think at least enough to deceive somebody chasing them. You know what I mean?
But a dog can do the same thing. Like they say, a lot of dogs know 150 plus words.
Really?
For Welch. Yes. Get your ball. Get your sock.
Right.
I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Parrots know a lot of words too.
They just mimic, though. They may not.
Some of them can like actually pick out the.
They
objects.
Can pick it out. Yeah. Then they cognitively know what it is. Well, that's right. Good then.
Yeah.
So I mean, I mean, if I'm gonna believe, I would have to think, Eric, there's some cognitive ability there.
Yeah.
How much? Yeah, I don't know. But also head size.
Well, apparently they have 4 heads, 5 heads, 6 heads tall. They gotta have a pretty big brain there.
The frontal cortex on humans being like this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Evolutionary wise.
Yeah, like the Neanderthals with their curled over brow. Yeah, and their shitty skull with their shitty little brain.
Pronounced brow, yeah.
I don't want to shit all over Neanderthal.
Who's got any Neanderthals listening? No, just exactly. Don't mind Everett.
The hoaxers, come on. I mean, there is no other thing that has been hoaxed more than the Bigfoot. Loch Ness doesn't even compare.
Aliens is a pretty big one, but you're right. Bigfoot's fucking everywhere.
Crop circles.
Fucking crop circles.
Crop circles have been hoaxed more, I would say.
Really?
I mean, think about it.
There's been hundreds of thousands of crop circle sightings?
Good point. At least hundreds.
Well, there's been hundreds, right.
It's up there.
Still, no one's ever killed one of these and brought it in.
Yeah, not a real specimen. Like a year or two ago, somebody claimed to have had one, but it was bullshit.
Jesus, that was horrible. The moment I looked at it, I'm like, oh, it's the mask. It looked like the gorilla from Trading Places that got on the train and traded places with the other gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
You remember this, Eric?
I do not.
Trading Places, Eddie Murphy?
No, I've seen it, but it's Dan Aykroyd a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Murphy. Yeah,
it looked exactly like the mask that John Belushi puts on in that movie. Look, these things really can't possibly fit into the food chain as we understand it. There's just no way.
It doesn't make a lot
of sense. The caloric intake necessary on these things.
This for a Sasquatch and one, a Yeti maybe.
It's huge. I mentioned the lack of sightings before 1958.
Right.
Okay. And then, lastly, we talked about it earlier. It's what about the Native Americans? They've got in their traditions. Well, again, it's just that. It's anecdotal and a tradition. And I think we've pretty much gone over a good reason why.
I mean, yeah, without a good recording system of why, somebody came up with the idea that there was a Sasquatch, after 50 years, people might even believe that, we have Sasquatches in our forest. Grandpa made up the idea, but told everybody it was there to keep out the neighbors.
Yeah.
Well, the grandkids didn't know that Grandpa made it up for a reason. He had a heart attack or whatever.
Right. Never told now anybody still, that it was because the neighbors were just...
They made that shit up to keep out the Algonquins.
Unfavorable people,
Fuck the Algonquins.
Just hated them. And the other thing, like rock throwing and things like that. Look, go walk through a forest.
Yeah, I've been pegged by squirrels plenty of times.
See how many things just come flying out of the air.
Yeah, I mean, sticks fall, shit happens.
All sorts of stuff falls. It's like, well, they threw rocks that hit the roof of our cabin. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, unless you can catch a rock in mid-flight.
David Lopan could.
No.
It's a different story.
So
again.
Or Kurt Russell,
Man, I wish this was real.
I wish this was real.
I do. I do. It'd be so much fun.
Yeah, odds, though, such a small percentage. Like I said before, telling you there's a chance, though. As I say in the intro, I don't know, man. This crazy shit could be for real.
Could be possible.
It could be possible. I don't know. Who knows? All right, that's all I got.
Yeah, I got no
more. You guys bankrupt on Bigfoot?
I'm bankrupt. Morally, emotionally,
physically,
financially.
It was a fun little topic, though, to discuss.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all.
Cryptids are always a good time.
I like cryptids.
What are we doing next week?
I don't know.
You know, on our show that Armand and I do, the This Day in History, just about every day, we come across an event that's like, man, that's a good Surreal Talk episode. Like, Eric, the other day, it was the anniversary of Pat Garrett killing Billy the Kid.
At Fort Sumter.
Yeah, that's...
See? And there's all sorts of conspiracy theories.
Oh, there's a bunch about it,
about Pat and Billy connived on this.
And Billy...
the other day, about 2 weeks ago, was the hanging of the conspirators in the Lincoln assassination.
Yeah.
And was it Brad Meltzer did an episode of Decoded. It was pretty damn convincing that Wilkes Booth maybe actually got away.
Really?
I mean, we come across stuff every day. We're like, man, that's a good Surreal Talk episode.
Shoot it on over to us.
Well, the problem is you do a show once a week. We do one we do it about four times a week.
If you're lucky, five.
It'll take us about 2 years to get all 365 days of the year in.
Oh,
and then they can just stop doing shows because, you know, at that point, history's already happened.
Yeah, no, then we'll move to something.
Then it's current events.
We'll do something really specific.
Yeah.
You know,
I would love to do more shows. It's just the only time I can get away from work is, you know, for the Saturday, though.
Victor in a chat saying we need to bring back a conspiracy show. What kind of conspiracies we got that we could do? What do you guys in chat want to hear about? What is something that we would actually?
Well, you've done something. You've done stuff around the JFK.
We did a JFK super show, a three-parter.
Oh, I know. I listened, and it was wonderful. There's a lot of tangents off that, though, like the Umbrella Man, which Errol Morris went and did a film on.
Yep.
The RFK assassination with Sirhan Sirhan and the, you know, was he a mind control? Was he a Manchurian candidate type guy?
The MK Ultra.
Yeah, I read a book. There's one I've been asking. I don't know if you know this, Eric, but I've been asking Eric. I've been asking Everett, your brother here, to do this, which is called Operation Paperclip.
Operation Paperclip.
And
cool.
A lady by the name of Annie Jacobson, who wrote Area 51: A History, which is fascinating because it's not all conspiracy.
Now, Paperclip was the one where we got all the Nazi scientists.
Yes,
right?
That's right.
Okay, good.
Right. And Armand's reading it right now and finishing it. Then I'll give it to you guys.
Werner von Braun. It's how you got the NASA.
Yeah, it's how you got
from
the, it's how you got
Germany.
The good scientists. Over here,
mm-hmm.
Okay, which gets into, did the Nazis have some type of advanced technology that
that's
they were standing
we
on the shoulders
1500
of?
Nazi scientists we you gave know, complete immunity to.
There's stuff like that. But also, and I'm sure you've touched on Area 51. I don't know if I've seen an Area 51 show from you.
Yeah, we did secret bases. We've talked about aliens,
like really interesting things about Area 51 is the radar testing they did there to develop stealth. And it's not so much surreal as holy crap, it's just damn cool.
Yeah, when we talked about secret bases, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago, we went into some of the crazy shit and stories that have happened around Area 51. Not so mm-hmm. much alien as like the experimental crafts they'll do and the links they go to make sure. One, that nobody comes into the airspace, and two, the pilot of these experimental crafts don't leave with them.
Oh, no, no.
That's kind of the big deal why they have 6 or 7 helicopters and jets around their experimental craft.
Do you know, Eric, like at McCarran Airport in Vegas, and I've seen this on TV, but I've also seen it in person. They have unmarked jets.
Oh, did that fly out to Area 51?
And
yeah,
one time staying
out
at the Mandalay Bay, we watched one of the unmarked jets just, you know, load up with the employees.
That's how you get to work.
Who flew out. And again, these are government Department of Defense people with high security clearances.
These jets don't have any of the,
how about your mic, man?
These jets don't have any of the markings or anything?
No,
like
they're
the
unmarked.
Tail number,
but
all that shit.
They're regular 737 type jets.
That's their four. But yeah,
there's
they take
a good story,
all
though,
guys
like,
out there.
In the Annie Jacobson book about Area 51, like how they would mess with people, like, a lot of the pilots who would work at the Area 51, but they would live in, say, Burbank, California.
Right.
So they would literally commute by flying back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to just mess with commercial pilots, they'd wear a gorilla mask while flying, you know, because they were in the same glide pattern coming into Los Angeles as they would be for what's now, I think it's called Bob Hope Airport now in Burbank, but which also, you know, if you know that region in the valley, so much aerospace is in that region.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My cousin's a rocket scientist. He works at one of the aerospace places there. You know, so imagine flying a commercial jet in the 60s and you look over and there's an American, you know, fighter and the pilot is wearing a gorilla mask.
That would be fucked up.
And the pilots would be like, what the hell is going on here? You know, come on. You know, just goofy crap like that they would do just for fun.
Yeah, just to fuck with
them. I would like to hear a show about this. And this is really a deep dive. I would like to hear a show about gravity amplification propulsion.
Man, that's...
I don't know if that's a whole show, but that's definitely in a future science type of episode.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of a cool one. Really,
that's the one where they basically say, where people say they see basically floating aircraft carriers.
Sure.
You know, the only way you can do it is to basically get the magnet effect repulsion going, or
some other exotic matter,
some
type
other
of thing,
thing. And I've heard it referred to as gravity amplifiers. That
anti-gravity or gravity amplification.
Yeah. That I would like to hear about.
What about the Montauk Project?
Which one is that? That's the,
you don't know about Montauk?
Montauk.
It's the one that Stranger Things shows
is based on.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did all kinds of shit from dimensional travel to I don't know, just all kinds of stuff. MK Ultra had something to do with it. I don't know. It's a really interesting one. People have been clamoring for, I don't know, a year for us to do a Montauk episode.
Well, the one I would tell you that I read a book called Phenomena about, and it goes beyond MK Ultra, Eric, but it goes about a hardcore remote viewing. And the remote, where they literally tried to teach regular people remote viewing
Techniques. Like astral projection, like how to remote view from.
No, you're just going to sit in a room and concentrate, and you're going to tell me what's in a room in Shanghai.
Oh, that is that Montauk stuff. That's what we were talking. Yeah, how they were able to tell you, like, yeah, remote viewing. That's what you were telling me about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was like, what, three? It was the Secret Bases episode.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I don't know. We'll talk about it. We'll come up with it. We'll post it on the groups, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that one might not be bad, the Montauk Project. That'd be a pretty cool show to do.
Government fucking cover-up shit right there for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Let's figure that out later. You guys done for the day?
Sure.
Let's roll that beautiful bean footage. And.
All right, well, everybody, we appreciate you joining us. How about audible.com/surrealtalk?
No, you're fucking it up. Surrealtalkpodcast.com/audible. What Audible is, it's the largest collection of online audiobooks you can find. So if you go to that link we just said, surrealtalkpodcast.com/audible, you get a 30-day free trial of Audible and a free audiobook download.
While you're at surrealtalkpodcast.com, vote in the poll, Team Everett or Team Everett or Team Eric. Okay, I'm currently ahead.
Are you?
Yes, I
am.
Let's
see what the results
are. How's Team Armand doing?
There is no Team Armand?
No. No Team Armand, no. Team Eric and Team Everett. I think I'm up 4 or 5 on you.
127 to 121, so you're up 6.
I'm up 6 on you. Nice. Good deal. We have a Patreon page.
Support us on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/surrealtalk. What Patreon is, it's kind of like a volunteer subscription service. Yeah, so if you're digging what we do, you can go on.
Helps us create the content.
Well, I mean, it's one way to support us without, because we don't have ads or anything else like that.
Right.
To help support the show. We still haven't cashed out. We've had it for a couple months now. We've had plenty of donations people have given. We haven't cashed out yet. Long story short, we would love to one of these days, but we're not going to do it for a couple bucks. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Well.
Anyway, you can go on there, support us with $1 a month or $20 a month or whatever you can. We'll appreciate it. What other kind of begging we got to do?
Oh, yeah. Like us on Facebook. Like us on YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube.
Join the group on
Facebook. Join the group on Facebook.
That's facebook.com/group/surrealtalkgroup. We just crossed the 900 member threshold. There's all kinds of cool shit going on there from
talk
about the next
is...
episode to any number of crazy different memes or articles or links or discussions.
There's Eric, it's one of the highlights of my day.
What's that?
My Facebook feed, when someone posts. Because your fans post such cool content to the group.
Oh, yeah. They post some funny stuff.
I get 20 updates a day, you know, someone posting to Surreal Talk, and I click on a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, to have a fan base that does that is just awesome.
No, we love our people.
Yeah.
We get in there, and some of the best times of my day is getting in there talking with people and joking around. And what's cool is everybody in there is similar to us. They don't take the conspiracy or any of the weird stuff too super seriously. We're as everybody knows, we're not those type of conspiracy guys.
Yeah, we're not
gonna argue at you and tell you you're a shill. Though there's a few people in the group that might call you a shill. That's been that's been thrown back and forth.
Can you have Alex Jones on this show?
I wish we could. I'd have Alex Jones on here. I'd talk to Alex Jones.
He was on Joe Rogan. We're more popular than Joe Rogan, right?
Probably no, kidding. Not at all.
You're probably getting. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening this week. We'll catch you next week. Join the group if you want to know what's going on. We may or may not post about it.
Yeah.
So. All right, that's it.
All right, thanks a lot.
Goodbye. See you later.
Please. Wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
I'm mad as hell! I'm not going to take it anymore!
Yeah.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.